Christ, the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for everything you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for blessings you have sent into our lives. Thank you for helps you have released into our lives. Thank you for making impossible things possible. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your mighty hand that has been working on our souls, on our minds, on our emotions, our feelings, our spirits. Thank you for how you are changing us into a new person. Thank you for how you are changing us into a better person. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful promises you have made concerning us. Thank you because we know you will bring them all to pass. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the Bible study classes we have been having every Tuesday evening. We thank you for how you have been teaching us your ways, teaching us your mind, teaching us your principles, teaching us the standards in your kingdom. Thank you for all that you have exposed unto us until this very day. Thank you for more revelations of who you are that we are still going to know. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O God, that as we would be having another class session right now, speak to us expressly by your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes and minds to things that will change us completely into the person you want us to be. Open our understanding to comprehend the truths of your kingdom. Thank you, Father, because we know you shall do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. Yeah, I want you to pay attention and if possible, you can click on the part of the conference call or app that will make my voice sound a bit louder. Yeah, I might not be able to speak very loud. Yeah, but I want you to listen very well. Amen. Now, we have been looking at this broad topic, building up a strong relationship with God. And there is a subtopic we have been considering recently. It says our special relationship with God, meaning that our relationship with God is so special. And I began to list out some points that reveals how our relationship with God is a special one. And we stopped at where I said, instead of God making us slaves, he adopted us as children and heirs. So now, point D says we are spiritually married to God, we are spiritually married to God. What does that mean? Yeah, it means in the realm of the spirit, God did not only adopted us as children, God married us unto himself. Yeah, which is a symbol of commitment and love and dedication, and also which is a symbol of responsibility. You know, just as the wife is a responsibility of the husband. Yeah, the husband have to take care of the wife. In fact, there's a place in the scripture that says, if a man cannot provide for his family, that man, or maybe I should put it this way, that an unbeliever is better than that man. As in, if a Christian husband cannot provide for his family, that he is worse than an unbeliever. That was what the scripture says. So we can see that God did not only adopted us as children or as sons, God also married us unto himself. God married us unto himself, just like an husband will marry a wife. And there are scriptures that confirms that. We will still go into those scriptures. So that tells you that we are very deep in, or maybe I should say, we have a deep place in God. Yeah, you know, when God founded marriage, he said, the man shall leave his parents and be joined to the woman, and the two of them shall become one flesh. So if God has married us unto himself, then that means we are one spirit with God. Yeah, it means we are deep into God, and God is deep into us, because that is what becoming one in marriage, that is what it entails. It means that the man is deeply rooted inside of the woman, and the woman is also deeply rooted inside of the man. Yeah, that is the bond that happens in marriage. So let us look at scriptures that confirms that we are spiritually married to God. If you look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. Isaiah 54, verse 5. It says, thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts. Thy maker is thine husband. Yeah, let me read everything in that verse. Isaiah 54, verse 5. Yeah, it says, for thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. You can see, the Lord of hosts is his name. Your husband is the Lord of hosts. And not only that, his Redeemer is your Redeemer. And not only that, he shall be called the God of the whole earth. Yeah, and all these names sound like Jesus. Yeah. God of the whole earth, that name sounds so much like the name of Jesus. Because Jesus came with the kingdom of God. And his kingdom was to terminate every kingdom in this world. That is what the kingdom of that is the kind of kingdom Jesus brought when he came into the world. He came with the kingdom of God to take over the earth from those that have been ruling it. Yeah, it might not yet look like Jesus is ruling the whole earth at the moment, but very soon the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of Jesus Christ. According to the revelation Daniel saw, he saw the picture of or was it that he saw it? I think it was the king that saw that dream, and Daniel was to interpret the dream. Yeah. I can confirm if I'm not correct. Yeah, I think it was the king that saw a dream of a giant statue. Yeah, made up of iron, brass, and other metals. Yeah, and then towards the latter part of the dream, yeah, the king had the dream, but he forgot. And then he was looking for people that would tell him the dream he had and that would interpret it. Yeah, that was Nebuchadnezzar. So he said if they can't tell him the dream he had, he will kill all of them. He will kill all the wise men. So, and Daniel and his friends happened to be one of those wise men. Yeah, so God now gave Daniel the full details of the dream the king had. Now, just to be very brief, towards the latter part of that dream, Daniel saw a rock coming from nowhere, and the rock smashed in pieces the statue or the image. Yeah, and he said the Almighty God will bring his own kingdom, and his own kingdom will destroy every other kingdoms of this world. Yeah, and his own kingdom will remain forever. I can look for the verses later and put it on the group. So my point is that this Isaiah chapter 54 verse 5 is giving us names that look like Jesus, your husband, your Redeemer, your the God of the whole earth. Yeah, those are names that sounds like the name of Jesus. Yeah, so like as I said, Jesus came with a kingdom, and the mission of the kingdom is to take out every kingdom that is against God in this earth. And we are in the process of the fulfillment of that will of God, or that agenda of God. Yeah. So, and Jesus is calling many into his kingdom. Prior to the time, he will destroy the whole earth and set up a new earth, with a new government for himself and for his father. Yeah, so that is the first verse that confirms that Jesus is your husband. God is your husband. That is Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. Yeah, so what does it mean for God to be your husband? I have said earlier that maybe I should use the word illustration. Yeah, because this husband we are talking about is not like husband here on earth. Yeah, God being your husband is not like any man on earth will be your husband. Yeah, so I can call it an illustration of a divine commitment. Yeah, or a picture or a symbol of a divine commitment. Yeah, when the Bible says God is your husband, your maker is your husband, it's showing that God is committed to you. God is dedicated to you. God is bound with you by covenant. You know, just as husband is bound to the wife by covenant. So God is bound, or God has bound himself with you by covenant. And God is committed to you just as an husband is committed to the wife, committed to take care of the wife, committed to protect the wife, committed to provide for the wife. So God is committed to do these things because God is our husband, according to Isaiah 54, verse 5. Yeah, there's another part of it. God is your husband because he's in you and you are in him. Yeah, God is inside of you and you are in him. According to John chapter 15, if you begin to read from verse 1, you will see where Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you." Yeah, so that is very similar, or maybe I shouldn't use the word similar, that is what happens between husband and wife. The husband is inside the wife, and the wife is inside the husband. In the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, that is how it is, and that is how they are one. So meaning that we are meant to be one with Christ because he has married us. We are meant to be one with Christ. Also, Bible call him the bridegroom. Even John the Baptist referred to Jesus as the bridegroom. And even Jesus referred to himself also as the bridegroom. So we are his bride. He is the bridegroom. So we are one with him. Yeah, so I said, in the realm of the spirit, the husband is inside the wife, and the wife is inside the husband. Yeah, and every time they make love, they are kind of strengthening that bond or that oneness. They are kind of strengthening it. So it's not as if they are trying to become one every time they make love. They are already one. Maybe the first time they made love, or the first time they were joined together. Yeah, they already won. But the lovemaking is like to to confirm and to strengthen that they are one. Yeah, so the husband is inside the wife, and the wife is inside the husband, and both are one. So that is why when you look at some couples, I mean, both of them are one. When you look at some couples, you begin to see similarities. Sometimes the husband talk like the wife would talk, or the wife talk like the husband would talk. Sometimes they even begin to look alike facially. Yeah, it's because of the oneness. Yeah, sometimes they begin to manifest similar attitudes and behaviors. Yeah, which was not happening before they got married. So this is because of the oneness. So in the same way, it is with our bond with Jesus. That there was a time I was talking about knowing God. I think it's still on this platform. I was talking about knowing God. And I was saying that knowing God is beyond that you saw a revelation, though it's part of it. But I was trying to expose the depths of knowing God, what it is in depth. And I remember at that time I was saying that knowing God is even more than you hear a voice from God. It's more than you saw a vision or a revelation of God. Is more than what you have been taught. Yeah, maybe what I am teaching you right now, or what you have learned from one minister or one preacher. Yeah, knowing God is deeper than that. And I remember I said that knowing God can be likened to the relationship between the husband and the wife. Yeah, so knowing God has to do with bonding. It has more to do with bonding and oneness. Yeah, like you are deep inside of God, and God is deep inside of you. And then both of you are now looking alike in nature, in character. So anyone that tells me that he or she knows God and the lifestyle, and nature and character and behavior of that person does not look like that of Christ, I will not believe that the person knows God. Yeah, because when you know God, you will have his nature in you. Or I should say, his nature will prevail in you. His nature will become your nature. Yeah, that's one of the physical proofs that you know God. So if a man just starts teaching revelations and starts speaking eloquently, start quoting scriptures from one scriptures to another, yeah, and his lifestyle does not agree with the nature that is in God, that man does not know God. Yeah, so that's why I said knowing God is very deep. Yeah, because some people, they can preach. I mean, some priests and yeah, some preachers, they can preach very nicely. They know many scriptures, and they have revelations of the scriptures, but they still don't know God. Reason is because they are not deep in God, and God is not deeply rooted in them. They are not deeply rooted in God, and God is not deeply rooted in them. And they don't have the nature that is in God. So that is why they don't know God. And even Jesus confirmed it. I think in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, in the last days, some people will tell him, maybe at the gate of heaven or at the judgment seat when he is passing judgment. Some people will protest and say, we cast out devils in your name. We did mighty miracles in your name. So why are you saying that we cannot enter heaven? We even raised the dead in your name. But Jesus said he will tell them that, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So you can see that knowing God is more than working miracles. Knowing God is even more than preaching nicely. It's more than having visions, revelations, and all of that. It's very deep. Knowing God is very deep. And one of the way of expressing the depth of knowing God is this marriage bond we have with God. So we are spiritually married. Spiritually married to God. I hope you get that point. We are spiritually married to God. And you can't go deep into God if you have not become like him in nature. That's what I have discovered. You can't go deep into God if you have not become like him in nature. It is having the same nature that is in him that will give you access to the depths of him. Yeah, so meaning that going deep into God has a lot to do with repentance. You repent, you will have to repent a lot if you want to know God. That is, go deep into him. You will have to repent a lot. Because he will keep showing you how you are different from him. And he will keep telling you that you have to be the same like him. In perfection, in holiness, in righteousness, for you to really get to know him deeply. Yeah, so the more he shows you where you are found wanting, the more you will have to continue to repent and continue to deny yourself and continue to crucify the desires of your flesh. Yeah. So knowing God is very central to this issue of having the same nature that is in God than it is to storing scriptures in your head or listening to many sermons that are full of revelations. Yeah, I know maybe you have not had anyone preach to you like this before, that knowing God is more central to having the same nature that is in God than it is to having so much scriptures in your head and having so much revelations of the scriptures, like revelations you saw or revelations other people saw and they shared. Yeah, knowing God is deeper than that. So meaning that knowing God has to do with how much of the word of God has prevailed inside of you. Knowing God has to do with how much have you surrendered to Jesus. Yeah, so meaning that the word of God must find a place in you. You can have the word of God in your head, but it has not yet found a place in you. So if you look at that John chapter 15, yeah, or is it John 15 or another place? Was talking about the word of God abiding in you. It's John chapter 15, verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. So the words of God cannot abide in you if it has not prevailed in you, if it has not defeated you. Because you by nature don't like the word of God. You by nature don't want to obey the word of God. You as a person by nature, which is the nature you were born with, don't want to surrender to the word of God. So that is why a lot of discipline and self-denial is so important before his words will abide in you. So you have to do a lot of repentance, obedience, self-discipline, self-denial, fastings, for his words to now abide in you. So it's just like something wants to stay in your room, but there's an atmosphere in that room saying no to that thing. I don't know what I can use as an example. Like something wants to stay inside the room, but that thing is sensitive to an atmosphere. So for that thing to stay in that room, the atmosphere that is in that room must first of all be eliminated, because that thing cannot stay in that room while that atmosphere is inside, or while that presence is inside. So that is the same with the word of God abiding in you. So the word of God abides in you when it has conquered you, when it has defeated you. When it doesn't meet any resistance in you again, when it doesn't meet any unbelief in you, it doesn't meet any rejection, any rebellion, any disobedience in you. But that is when the word of God abides in you. And that is when you begin to know God. So some people can have those scriptures inside their heads, but they don't have it in their heart, because their heart does not agree with what they have in their heads. Their heart does not practice what they have in their head. Their heart does not obey what they have in their head. So those people, they don't know God. I don't know if you are getting these things. These things I'm saying, they are practical teachings the apostles taught in the early church. But these kind of teachings are missing in many churches today. Because we have half-baked preachers out there. Uncooked preachers. Preachers that have not gone through, or that have not finished in the training process God is taking them through. So they go out there and start misleading people, even confusing people. So my point is that until your heart is now doing what you have stored in your head, that is when you begin to know God. And that is when we can say you're married to God, or God has married you. Because that is when the bond becomes strong. And that is even when you will ask whatever you want, and it shall be done unto you. I love that scripture. John chapter 15, verse 7. He said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So this is the point where you pray is a very simple prayer. And even before you say in Jesus' name I pray, the miracle has already happened. Why? Because the word of God has prevailed in your heart. Yeah, that is when it's so easy for your prayers to get answered. Yeah, so it says, if ye abide in me. If ye abide in me. So to abide in God is to obey his words. Yeah. Yeah. To abide in God is to have the same nature that is in him. Yeah, so the greatest battles I have fought in my life is to be able to abide in him and for him to abide in me, for his words to abide in me. Yeah. And the more I get victory in that aspect, the more I see a lot of breakthroughs, deliverances, blessings, miracles. Why? Because there is no reason why God shouldn't do those things. Shouldn't do those things for me. The reason why God is not yet blessing some people, despite that they have prayed and fasted, is because his words have not yet abided in them. Yeah, I don't know. I'll be talking on this aspect. I'm supposed to have moved to the next scripture. Yeah, but maybe I'm talking like this because of someone among you that need to hear what it means to be married to God. Yeah. So what I was saying is that one of the reasons why God at this time has not yet blessed some people is because his words have not yet found a place in them. His words is not abiding in them. So God will not give them certain spiritual blessings and physical blessings because he knows those blessings will destroy them. Now look at some people's lives in this world. Yeah, when they were spending thousands of money, they were calm, they were nice, they were gentle, they were obedient Christians. But when God now elevated them to the realm of millions, they now start spending millions. Immediately, they don't join church programs again. They don't pray again. They don't fast again. And in fact, some began to commit all manner of sins. Some began to commit fornication, adultery, and all of that. Why? Because they got blessed. And some people, let me now move to spiritual blessings. Some people, before God began to use them for mighty miracles, notable miracles, undeniable, visible miracles, they were humble, they were obedient, they were righteous. But since they start praying and miracles start happening, the lame began to walk, blind eyes began to see, the dead began to come back to life. Since all those powerful demonstrations of the Holy Ghost began to happen in their ministries and callings, they now start becoming proud. Before, they used to listen to God and ask God, what should I preach? What should I teach to these people? So now they don't ask God again, what should they preach and what should they teach? they just feel like now they have the power. Now they can do whatever they want. Now they can get whatever they want because they have the power. Yeah, so that is why some people up to now, God has not yet given them the power for miracles. Because he knows that his words have not yet prevailed inside of them, in their hearts. Though they have the word of, they have a lot of the word of God in their heads, but it has not yet prevailed in their heart. So God knows they will misbehave. God is so sure that they will misbehave the moment he began to use them mightily. Yeah, so some of you will do well if God did not use you mightily. Yeah, you will do well. Because the moment they begin to use you mightily, you will start misbehaving. Why? Because you have not worked on making his words abide in you. You have not worked on becoming like him in nature. You have not yet worked on getting rid of secret sins, arrogance, pride, secret hatred, bitterness, anger, and all the works of the flesh. You have not yet worked on getting rid of them. So that is why he is not using you mightily. Yeah, I believe you get my point. So where was I coming from? Yeah, so I said, it is when the words of Jesus is abiding in us, which you understand what that means now. Now, it's not like it's in your head, but in your heart, because there is no more resistance to his word in your heart. Now his word has found a resting place in your heart. Yeah, so the moment you attain that level of perfection, there is nothing God cannot give you. I'm telling you the truth. And there is nothing in this world he cannot do for you, even outside of this world. Yeah, because he knows that you remain as you are. So he can make you a billionaire, and he won't be afraid to do that. Because he knows that you will remain as you are. You will remain true, faithful, righteous, as you have always been. Yeah. So recently, God was giving me directions to start praying for sick people. Yeah. Because it's been a while. I think the last time I was doing that assignment was when I was in the nursing school. That was the time I formed a group. We go to hospitals to pray for people. We go to the hospital because I was a student, so we are in the hospital environment as nursing students. So it was easy for us to enter any hospital ward and pray for people. Yeah, and that was maybe around 2010 or 2011. Yeah, so recently God began to give me the same direction to start looking for sick people to pray for them. So, which sound very nice. Yeah, but I was asking him that I was asking him what will happen after I do that. Are you planning to start the revival where immediately we pray and the people will just jump up and they are healed? Yeah, so he was not telling me that. He said the reason why he did not do instant miracles as at the time I was so passionate to pray for sick people, is because he was still dealing with a lot of things in me. So despite the fact that I was desperate then, to see sick people jump up from the bed healed. And the more desperate I was then, the more disappointed I became, because the sick people were not getting healed. Like, though some they got healed later, when we checked on them, realized that they had been discharged. But I was like, I wanted to see them get healed like instantly. But it never happened then. So he was not telling me that that now we are going to see many get healed instantly. Yeah, he said now that he's sending me on the same assignment again, that we're going to see many get healed instantly. And he was telling me that the reason why they will get healed is because his words has prevailed in me. Because there's no reason why I shouldn't do it. Yeah, it's not as if it will now make me feel like I'm a superman. Yeah, not that it will make me feel like, oh, I am highly anointed. Because now I pray for the dead, the dead rose. Yeah, so he has taken me through a lot of process that would not make me feel that again. As long as God is still on the throne, God has taken me through process that will not allow me to go into darkness, because God used me for one miracle. So now you can see why sometimes we ask God for something and we don't get it. Yeah. Especially we don't get it instantly. Yeah. One of the reasons is because his words is not abiding in us. Yeah, and even before this assignment, I've prayed for many people and they've gotten healed instantly. Yeah. So but I'm just telling you what God showed me recently. So if you happen to see someone who is so prospering, who is so successful in maybe in career, in business, in calling and ministry, and you feel like, how is this person doing it? Is there anything different between us? What is he doing, or what is she doing that I am not doing? Then you need to come to this John chapter 15, verse 7, and ask yourself, as the words of Christ prevailed in me, ask yourself, am I in love with everything the Bible teaches? Am I comfortable with everything the Word of God teaches? Or I have my own principles, my own standard that I consider more important than the Word of God? Yeah, so this is the secret of enjoying unlimited blessings from God. And that secret is, let his words abide in you. Yeah. Yeah, because I remember those times I pray for the sick and nothing happened, and then I feel disappointed. Yeah, but later I now got to realize that me feeling disappointed is a sin. That I prayed for something and it did not happen, and then I got sad about it. I later realized that it's a sin for me to get sad because I prayed for a miracle and it did not happen. And the Spirit of God was telling me that, you know, was showing me that, why would you be sad if you prayed for a sick person and you don't see the instant result? So I began to think, when he asked me that question. So why should you be sad if you are not God? If you are not the one that will answer the prayer, then why should you be sad that it did not happen? So which means that if it happened, you will be proud. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So meaning that if let's say you prayed for the sick and the miracle happened instantly, okay, it means you will be proud. Yeah. So you will be proud because when it did not happen instantly, you felt bad. So why did you feel bad? Because it didn't happen instantly. It's because if it does happen instantly, you will be proud. So if you consider it as this is God's business, this is God's power, not my power. This is God's will, not my will. So mine is just to pray with faith and let God move. Mine is just to become a channel through which God moves to do his works. So when you have that mindset, yeah, then whether a miracle happens immediately or not, you won't have any problem. And that was what God was trying to teach me then. And he made sure that many of those prayers I prayed for the sick did not produce instant miracles. So now you see why you might be asking God to make you a millionaire and a billionaire, and yet he refused to do it. Why? Because he knows that if he does that, you will misbehave. Yeah. Because even right now, some of you might already be misbehaving because you feel like your pastor is not grateful. Despite everything you have done to assist your pastor, he's not grateful. The boss we bought in the church, I contributed a lot of money before they could buy that boss. The speaker, the sound speaker, and the microphones, I contributed a lot of money before they could buy it. And now the pastor doesn't respect me. He just talk to me anyhow. Or the pastor doesn't, I don't know. You might just have some reasons and you feel like, yeah, the pastor is not nice. Despite all I have done. That alone means that you are not qualified to be a billionaire. You're not qualified for God to make him billionaire, so that you can continue to finance his kingdom. Because you're not qualified, because even the little you have done, though it looks like much in your hands, you're already misbehaving. Even with the little you think you have done. Yeah. I don't know if you get the point. So the blessings we get from God usually is connected to how much is of his word has prevailed in us. Yeah, that is why you should study your Bible. The Bible is like a mirror. You should study your Bible frequently. The Bible is like a mirror. The Bible keeps exposing you to you. And if you are humble, the more the Bible exposes you to you, exposes your faults, your darkness to you, you quickly repent and get things right instantly. If you are that kind of Christian, you will quickly know God deeply and you will quickly prosper in life. Yeah, that's the truth. I pray that these things I have said, even though God has spoken many things through me in this Bible classes we have been doing, I hope that this one I have said, that you will make good use of it. Yeah, because I feel like sometimes we should even stop doing teachings Because the more we do teachings in these last days, the more people keep doing the negative, the opposite of what we are teaching them. Yeah, so many times it makes men of God discouraged when people are doing opposite of what they have been teaching. Yeah. And then you might ask, how do I know if you are doing opposite? Since I am not there where you are, I can know. Yeah. God gives his servant ability to know how much what they have been teaching, how much it is working in people's lives, how much it has changed people's lives. God gives his servant the ability to know that. So, like, on all our platforms, I could know those ones that are doing what we have been teaching, and I could know those that are not doing it, and I don't need to be where they are. I could even pick them out. Yeah, so that is why I'm saying again here that I hope that all I have said so far on this point, that you will make use of it, and you will not just hear it, oh, it's a sweet teaching. It's an interesting Bible study class. It's not about whether it's interesting or sweet. It's about you doing it, you practicing it, and let this truth change your life. I believe that is why God has called me to preach, to teach, and that those teachings change people's lives. Yeah. So it's not that to preach and you feel excited. It's not about you feeling excited. I'm not those kind of preachers that just want to preach for you to feel excited. It's not about you feeling excited. It's about you changing, your life changing. That's my passion. Yeah. So may the Lord help you to do what is right in his sight. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Let's look at another scripture that confirms that we are spiritually married to God. In Isaiah chapter 62, verse 5, which says, as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Yeah, and also in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Yeah, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. I want to read it. Jeremiah 3, verse 14. It says, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So that's another scripture that confirms that we are married. We are spiritually married to God. Also in Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 to 20, I will betroth thee unto me forever. And also in Romans chapter 7, verse 4, yeah, it says, ye should be married to another, even to Jesus. Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Yeah, so we should be joined with each other as a body, and then be joined with Jesus, who is the head of the body. So the church is the body, Jesus is the head. And Jesus is also the bridegroom. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, It says, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And also in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 to 9, the marriage of the Lamb, Jesus, is come, and his wife, the church, has made herself ready. Yeah, so you can see all these scriptures confirms that we are Jesus's bride. We are his wife. Yeah, that is how it is in the realm of the spirit. Yeah, and we are to abide in him. He's to abide in us. We are to become like him. And we are to know him very deeply. Yeah. In the physical realm, no one should know the husband. Though I know it's not like that in some families or marriages. But usually no one should know the husband more than the wife. And no one should know the wife more than the husband. Yes. But the same way we are to know God very deeply. Yeah, you know how husband know the wife very deeply, even to the secret places, to the private parts. Yeah, so the same way we are to know God very deeply, and I've shown you the secret. Yeah, let God change you to become like him in nature. Let his word change you. And the more you start changing into the same nature of Christ, automatically the more you begin, your understanding of the things of God start getting more powerful. Yeah. Though I went to Bible college, Bible school, but what I have known personally about God is far beyond what they taught us in the Bible college. Yeah, and I discovered that the more I surrender to becoming one with the same nature that is in God, the more the light of God I have in my life. So meaning that I could just open the Bible and begin to understand very fast. Yeah, because I'm so full of light in my soul. Because darkness has been dealt with in my soul. So I could hear God very, very well and could understand him even as I'm hearing him. I could understand even deeper than what he says by his voice. Yeah, so I've shown you the secret how to really know God very closely, which is through his nature, through genuine holiness and righteousness. You will not only know him, you will even know his power. Yeah, so Christians, they have been Christians for 20 years, 30 years, and they still have not known God's power. God's power is to be known and felt and is real. Yeah, I can tell you more than 1,000 things. I have practically seen the power of God done in my own life, personally. And on every day, I keep seeing the power of God produce victories in my life. Do you know that even to live a holy life is by the power of God? To have a pure heart, to have a pure mind, and not a corrupt mind that is thinking rubbish and evil, it can only happen by the power of God. Yeah, so the more you have determined to become one in nature with God, the more it will be very easy for you to know him deeply. Yeah, because light and darkness does not agree. Yeah, you cannot be full of darkness and want to know the light. It's not possible. So you must be full of the light to know the light, to enter deep into the light. So if we can work on having this nature, the same nature that is in God, then knowing God will be much easier. And having victories through prayers will be also much easier. So I'm challenging you to know God. If you are married to Him, then you are the best to know Him. Yeah. You are the best person to know Him the best in the earth, if you are married to Him. Yeah, and you are meant to know Him even more than demons knew Him. Yeah, even more than Satan knew Him. Yeah, because you are in Him. So I'm going to stop here because of time. And we're going to move to another point next Tuesday. Yeah. You can have questions. You can ask later on our groups. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for all that you have exposed to us this evening. Thank you for showing us that we have the deepest place in you. We have access to the deepest place in you. And we have the deepest places in you as our inheritance. Thank you for showing us these things, that we can know you the best ever. We can know the best of you. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. But I'm praying for everyone hearing my voice now that I've been listening to all kinds of inspired teachings, anointed teachings, revelatory teachings, and yet there has been no significant change in their lives and character and nature. Oh Lord, I ask that you begin to help as many that are in this category now. In the name of Jesus, I ask, oh God, that you help everyone to begin to allow your words find a permanent resting place in their souls and hearts henceforth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. I pray for you that whatever web of deception you have been entangled in, the fire of the Holy Ghost set you free in Jesus' name. You shall now love the light. You shall now believe in the light. And you shall grow in the light. So shall it be. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Remain blessed. Amen.
Goodbye.